Good morning. Welcome to Windsong. It's good to see all of you here. Hope you're having a wonderful week. I appreciate the prayers. Joe, great song service again, brother. I mentioned to him last week after he had was sitting down, a fantastic job he did with the song selection and the leading, and he continues that today. We're in the middle of a series of lessons on the letter of 1 John. And the series is entitled, How Do You Know You're a Christian? Today we're specifically looking at, we are certain we are saved. It comes from 1 John 4, 13-21. John McKay, in his book, A Coach's Story, tells about University of Alabama legendary coach Bear Bryant. And he illustrates his supreme confidence of the man called Bear. He said, we were out shooting ducks. And finally, after about 3 hours, here comes one lonely duck. The bear fires. And that duck is still flying today. But Bear watched that duck flap away, looked at me and said, John, you are witnessing a genuine miracle. There flies a dead duck. How do you get that kind of confidence? How do you draw on that kind of certainty? Well, John the Apostle is writing to a group of Christians who have had to encounter some of their own brothers and sisters in Christ saying some things about Jesus that weren't true and really causing some uncertainty in their lives. And one of the things that he does in this letter, again and again, is to let those Christians know who have remained faithful that they can be confident, that they can be certain, that they can be assured of who they are and to whom they belong. And in our passage this morning, he's going to say, we can be certain that we are saved. If you would please stand for the reading of the Word of God. We know that we live in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that God the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in Him and He in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And He has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Thank you. Be seated. John provides some very concrete reasons about the certainty of our salvation. In this passage, he says, you can be sure, you can be assured and certain of how you stand with God, where you stand with God, and be confident that you are saved because of some things that God has done for us and some things that we do as His children. First of all, he says, we are certain we are saved because the Holy Spirit lives in us. We know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. The way John put this verse in the original language is really important, because the two verbs that translate we know and we live are in the present tense. That means that he is suggesting that there is a continuous experience on the part of the believer. We continually know and we continually live in Him because He is in us. He wants them to know from the very outset of this paragraph that the certainty of our salvation is something about which we can constantly and continually be assured. We should be able to discern it, to recognize it, to comprehend it, to appreciate it, and to grasp it on a constant basis. Our salvation, our feeling of our salvation, our confidence in our salvation should not be sporadic. It should not be irregular or intermittent. Our assurance should be continual and constant. So when he says, we know that we live in Him and He in us, we are abiding in God and God is abiding in us continually. Why do we know that? Because He has given us of His Spirit. The text literally reads, He has given us out of His Spirit. I like the way one writer explained this. He said, we actually get a portion of the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells in the entire church universal. Part of the Holy Spirit lives in us. He dwells in us, just like He dwells and lives in the church universal. By sharing in Him, he says, we have an assurance. We know that we live in Him because we have this personal relationship with God, because God is in us. The Spirit is indwelling us. He is part of us. And so he begins by saying, look, you can be certain you are saved because of what God has done for you. God has placed the Holy Spirit within you. If you are one of His children, He has given us of His Spirit. Do you have that continual, constant understanding of your salvation? Or is it intermittent, sporadic, and occasional? God doesn't want you to feel like, well, I'm saved today, but you know what? I felt lost yesterday. He wants you to experience His salvation like you experience His Spirit living in you on a continual basis. Then he says, we are certain we are saved because Jesus was sent to save us. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. You know, usually when we talk about the salvation process, or the scholars refer to the salvific activity of God, we're usually talking about the work of the Son and what Jesus did. In this passage, notice that John turns the attention on the Father for a moment. He says, the Father has sent the Son to be our Savior. He links the salvation activity of Jesus with the Father Himself. And he says this wasn't Jesus acting on His own or acting alone, but the Father sent the Son. He sent Him to be the Savior of the world. This is the only time that the term Savior appears in John's letters. It's a Greek word that in the secular classic Greek world, it could be used to refer to a human being. Sometimes the emperor of Rome was referred to the Savior of Rome. It was a word that was also used in reference to the Roman gods. The Roman god was the Savior of such and so in the secular writings. John here takes that word with which his audience was familiar, and he says, Jesus was sent by the Father to be the Savior. Not another Savior, not a simply a human Savior or a Roman God Savior. Instead, He was sent to be the Savior of the world by God the Father. Do you live with an abiding presence as a Christian? That the Father sent Jesus to be your Savior? A lot of times we'll talk about, yeah, Jesus is the Savior. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of everybody. But do you live feeling, grasping, understanding that He is your Savior? That He has saved you. Do you experience that? John says Jesus was sent to save us. And in that, we can be certain of our salvation. And then he tells us we can be certain of our salvation because we acknowledge Jesus is God's Son. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. This is an interesting verse with an interesting translation. Here's what the verse literally reads. If anyone acknowledged that Jesus is the Son of God. For some reason, our translators don't render this in the past tense. It's in the past tense. It's in the aorist tense. Instead, they make it a present tense, a continual thing. But in the Word, in the original, if anyone acknowledged that Jesus is the Son of God, John seems to be pointing to a single, decisive, public confession. If anyone acknowledged that Jesus is the Son of God, I think he's pointing to our conversion. Whenever people would confess faith in Christ prior to being baptized into Christ, I think he's pointing to that. And if he is, then there is a theological progression here. He says in the previous point, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior. And if we acknowledge or confess that Jesus is the Son of God, the next progression is, God lives in us. And He in God. And the very next verse says, in this way love is made complete in us. By this, because of this, love is made complete in us. John ties our conversion to our current situation. Because there were some people to whom he was writing, there were some in that congregation that perhaps were still questioning whether or not Jesus was God, whether or not the Son was God in the flesh. And he says, when we acknowledge that, and we owned that, and we made that statement of faith prior to our immersion, something happened to us. God lives in Him because of that. We can be certain of our salvation because of what we believe and what we have confessed about Christ. We live in a world where people do not acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God. A great teacher, a fantastic moral philosopher, someone that everybody would do well to follow his example. But was he God? I don't think so. In our world, it's ever more important to hold up Jesus as the one that the Scriptures declare, this is God in the flesh. We acknowledge Jesus as God's Son. Then he says, we can have confidence facing judgment. So that, I want you to go down here, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like Him. John's used this word confidence before in this letter. You remember I told you it would frequently refer to a citizen of a state who felt that they had the right to express their opinion freely in public. It was also used in reference to those who were outspoken or who were frank. It was also a more general term meaning courage or bold. We have the confidence. We can be bold. We can be assured on the day of judgment. Christians, God does not want you to live in fear. God wants you to live in confidence. He wants you to live knowing what He has done for you, that you abide in Him and He abides in you. He wants you to have confidence so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. How? Why does John say we can have confidence? Because in this world, we are like Him. The NIV translators made that smooth. That's a smooth reading. Here's what it literally says. We are as He is. We are as He is. And you know what? This is in the present tense too. You are now as He is now. Follow me here. He's not saying, you know what, you're going to be like He's going to be. Or someday you will be like He is now. John is telling you very specifically and pointedly that you are now as He is now. What does that mean? What does that entail? What is involved in all of that? I do not mind telling you. I don't know. You can read till your eyes blur on what the scholars think. I don't know. Here's what I do know. Through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John said it. That you are now continually as He is now. Continually. And because you are like Him now, as He is now, you can have confidence on the day of judgment. If you are a Christian, this is what He's offering you. You can be assured, be confident, be bold in your belief about where you stand with God. Why would anyone want to take what we're offering if what we're offering is, well, you know what? You may be saved, you might not be saved if you follow the gospel because you know what? I'm not really sure I'm saved. But if you accept it and you believe it, maybe if you're lucky, good luck. Maybe by the grace of God you will be. Are you assured? Can you feel confident as you contemplate the day of judgment? If you are as He is now, you should be. Because John says you should be. And then he says, We can be fearless because of our love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. Why do people fear judgment? Why do Christians fear judgment? If we have the kind of love for one another and love for God that we're supposed to have, here's what he says, perfect love drives out fear. Your love for your brothers and sisters in Christ that is demonstrated not only in word, but in deed and action and in truth. When you have that, when you're showing that, when you're living that, perfect love drives out fear. Your love for one another should provide you with confidence. Because of the way you love your brothers and sisters with a Christ-like, with a God-like love, you should be assured of your salvation. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Are you doubtful about your salvation? Are you fearful? You want to fix it? Have more love for your brothers and sisters. Show more love. Demonstrate more love. Be more loving. And you can be assured and confident. Because if you don't have a right relationship with your brothers and sisters, we read it in the passage, didn't we? You can't have a right relationship with God. But if you have a right relationship with your brothers and sisters, if you love your brothers, the love of God's in you. Just like He's in. Are you certain you're saved? Are you confident in that? Constantly. There is no reason for you to leave here wondering or doubting. None. If you have confessed Christ, if you have been immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, if you have been clothed with Christ, if you are a child of God that is abiding in God and God is abiding in you, do not leave here wondering or worrying. Be confident and assured. But if you're not sure, and you think you need your brothers and sisters to pray for you to help that, we will. It may be that you haven't been clothed with Christ yet. That you haven't put Him on in baptism. If you haven't been immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, you should not be certain of your salvation. We can take care of that today too. The water's ready. We have clothes here. Anything you need, come as we stand and sing.